Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, Director of the World Ocean Observatory. Marine managers have long recognized that effective conservation of ocean areas and creatures requires delving into watershed management, for all the free-flowing waters of the Earth either find their way into or dramatically affect ocean ecosystems. However, achieving this level of ecosystem-based management requires the spanning of disciplines and professions in a way that is not natural to our sectoralized science and management structures, and keeping the big picture, the regional rather than the local view, in mind. Regional cooperation to address issues of water use and allocation, as well as threats to freshwater systems originating from pollution, overfishing, and changes in riparian landscapes, hold great promise for effectively managed river systems and watersheds. There are good examples of watershed management frameworks and institutions already in existence around the world, from the Mekong River Commission, involving Vietnam, Thailand, Laos, and Cambodia, to the International Commission for the Protection of the Danube River, a collaboration between Austria, Bosnia, Czech Republic, Germany, Hungary, Moldova, Romania, Serbia, Slovakia, and the Ukraine, to the drought-parched Murray-Darling Basin in Australia, involving the states of South Australia and New South Wales. However, this large-scale, top-down command and control form of management has its limitations, without effective local involvement at much smaller scales. A telling example is provided by the Protection of Ecoservices project undertaken by the City of New York to safeguard the city's drinking water supply. The city made an investment of $300,000 to facilitate sustainable farming practices in the New York City watershed, enlisting the help and entrepreneurial spirit of farmers in the Catskill Mountains to implement measures to preserve water quality. These measures included establishing riparian stream buffers on private lands, reducing fertilizer and pesticide use, and conserving wetlands that naturally filter water flowing through them. This payment for ecosystem services initiative paid off. It saved the city literally billions of dollars in water treatment costs, and it rewarded farmers financially, allowing them to maintain their traditional small-scale farming livelihoods. The Colorado River provides another example. Long exploited for drinking water diversion to Southern California, large-scale irrigation projects along the eastern slope of the Rockies, and water-demanding agriculture like rice and tomatoes in Texas and Mexico. In reality, the annual volume of water from the river in a typical year is effectively spoken for as a result of various contracts and obligations. In a drought year, these obligations must be diluted. Indeed, some contracts for water to Mexico, to serve large agribusinesses interested in taking advantage of cheap labor south of the border, cannot be met at all. Thus, are diminished snowmelt or drought conditions directly related to economic viability along the river's path? Should climate change perpetuate those circumstances, even over the short term, the financial impact on the dependent communities will be immediate and enormous. Such combinations of public sector management and private sector market mechanisms, however, may still be the best hope we have for conserving freshwater biodiversity and services. The new structures required may be difficult and painful to achieve, but if we are successful in their implementation, we will have come a long way in conserving and using our freshwater resources more efficiently, while also sustaining the marine ecosystems and services that so often lie at the end of the freshwater stream. We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
World Ocean Radio is a project of the World Ocean Observatory, online at www.thew2o.net. World Ocean Radio is produced by Amelia Poole in association with WERU Community Radio, Blue Hill, Maine.